Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And as I always say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. We are in for a wonderful treat today with Minister Lakeisha Richmond concluding her series, The Art of Spoken Word. And I tell you, it's just been a delight to have her in the studio today to conclude her beautiful pieces that she has written to share her heart with us through her spoken word or written word. And it's just a wonderful way to express our heart to the Lord in writing poems or whatever they might be to you, to express your heart and to express to God what is on the inside. Some may call them prayers. Some may call them poems. Some may call them pieces. But whatever you may call them, they are love letters to the Lord. And I thank God for Minister Lakeisha being in studio with me to share her heart through the art of spoken word. So I'm not going to take any more time, but she's no stranger to us at Mission from the Heart Radio. And Minister Lakeisha, I just want you to go ahead and just share with the listeners today how this has been a blessing to you and a delight.
Amen. I'm happy again to be a part of Mission from the Heart broadcast, and I've had a wonderful time sharing my pieces. I really hope that it's helped someone. And in this conclusion, I'm hoping that someone has received healing and has been blessed. And also, if they're just, my writings are just an example of what you can do in your time of struggle or your time of need to cry out to God. You can take your own pen and paper, pen to paper, and write to God just as I have done and just as David has done in the Bible. I'm so glad you tuned in today. I haven't had such an opportunity as this before to share my writings on such a broad network, but God had a plan for Mission from the Heart, and this was my perfect opportunity to have a chance to share some of my writings. I'm so glad that, like I said, you tune in. My name is Minister Lakeisha Richmond. I'm 44. I have two children, ages 23 and 24. I'm also a member of Turning Point Faith Ministries with Dr. Cassandra Scott and Pastor Roscoe Hilliard. Now, the art of spoken word, this will be the conclusion today, but it's not the end of the art of spoken word. Amen. Now, if you just bow with me, I'm going to say a little prayer before we go into the first writing. Father, we thank you for today, for yet another day that you've allowed us to see. God, we thank you for such a beautiful day today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are tuned into the broadcast. I ask that something be said that will allow them to be healed and blessed and delivered from anything that they're going through. God, let these words be a healing balm unto the people, unto your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. And again, like I said before, you can take the opportunity to write down the topic and the scripture, so you may want to get your pen, paper, and your Bible out and be ready to write down some scriptures. Because although I'm reading some poems or writing, we do have a lot of scripture to go along with the writing. Now, my first poem is on love. And after I've searched everywhere else, I turn to God. to seek God for love. After being diagnosed with depression and after a bad marriage, after failed relationships, then I decided to view God's love, to see what God's love looked like. And it's nothing like man's love. Amen. God's love it knows no boundaries. It has no restrictions. It's not male nor female, but its strength overpowers everything. God's love has no prejudice. It's no respect of a person. Some may think they can control love, but they are only fooling themselves. It has to be respected by you and I, or it will put you in your place. It never hurts but brings reality to light. The pain comes when we do not want to accept reality. Love never lies. It always gives the truth. And love, are you really ready to accept the truth or just misunderstand what love says? Do we trust his words to what we perceive it to be? Do we close our minds because we really do not know love? We only sometimes have our selfish concept to hold on to and not just allow love to teach and lead us. That's the first writing on love. And love doesn't have any boundaries. Amen. Let's look at John 3 and 16. St. John 3 and 16. Talking about God's love. And it reads, St. John 3, chapter 3, verse 16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So we see that God's love knows no boundaries. God gave his only Son for the whole world, to die for the whole world, that we wouldn't perish but have eternal life. That's John 3 and 16. We have another scripture, St. John 15 and 13. Let's see what that says. St. John 15 and 13. And it reads, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my commandment, love each other." So there we're talking about love again. So love knows no boundaries. It has no restrictions. It's not male nor female. Talking about God's love. But its strength overpowers everything. It has no prejudice, no respect of a person. So God doesn't just love a certain group of people. He loves everybody. He doesn't just love a certain gender. He loves everybody. Some may think they can control love, but they are only fooling themselves. How can you control love? It has to be respected by you and I, or it will put you in your place. It never hurts but brings reality to light. So love, talking about God's love still. And let's turn to Mark, the 12th chapter. Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 28 to 34, talking about God's love. Verses 28 to 34 reads, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is the one. There is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is the more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. So we see that loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, that so love has no restrictions. It has no restrictions at all. Now, we are talking about loving your neighbor. It's not just your neighbor right next door, but it's that stranger on the corner is your neighbor. Who else is your neighbor? Maybe the homeless person on the street, under the bridge, that's your neighbor. So how can you show love to those people? Would it be not just by giving them money, but maybe food or encouraging words, or even just giving them maybe some clothing? That's showing love. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Sister Smith, did you have anything to add?
Well, you know, the kind of love that we are to show, the kind of love that we are to give, the kind of love that we would like to receive is the kind of love that God gives us. And, of course, we know that to be agape love. And that type of love is an unconditional love. It doesn't come with a contract. It doesn't come with a prenup. It doesn't come with something that's going to cost you as far as putting it up for ransom, or something that it doesn't have any kind of a contractual agreement attached to it. It's a love that is free. It is a love that loves with sensitivity. And this kind of love that God gives is what we are to give also.
Right.
And as you read the scriptures, you just finished reading Mark 12, correct?
Yes.
28. So I would like for us to read through the John 14, and let's look at John 14:14.
Okay.
And I heard it put this way from a brother in Christ of ours, a well-known teacher of God's word. God's ultimate love is the cross. That's his ultimate love is the cross.
Yes.
And what he allowed through Jesus Christ to give up his life on the cross, that's love. That is an ultimate love.
Yes.
And then the love that we are to have for God is, love and obedience are inseparable.
Right.
They're woven. They're woven together like a tapestry. But let's look at John 14:14.
Okay. You want me to read it?
If you would.
Okay. I'm reading from the NIV version. you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And verse 15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You want me to keep reading?
Amen. Amen. It says, and you read in 14:14, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, of course, this is Jesus stating that, and if we read prior to that, say we go up to 12.
Okay.
Well, let's just start with 9.
Okay.
Yeah, read
Jesus.
Jesus
answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father? Father is in me. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me would do what I have been doing. He would do greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I would do it.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
14.
So, and in 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command.
Yes.
I like 15, if you love me.
Yes.
And I think that in itself speaks volume, if you love me. And in the King James, New King James translation, for those who may have that, it in 15 it says, it quotes, if you love, capital M-E, keep my commandments. And I like that because it intensifies the sentence, letting us know, if you love the Lord God, if you love him, then you will keep his commandments. And that's through obedience to what the Holy Spirit leads and guides and shapes and molds us to do. And we are a holy people as far as sanctification is concerned, and we are set apart and separate, and that is to do the will of God. But it all starts at home base, and home base is love, L-O-V-E.
Yeah.
Who's home base? Who's at home base? God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The three are one. And love starts there. And when we can grasp that and yearn and hunger to want to hold tight or hold fast to that type of love, the understanding of how God gave, according to John 3:16, the kind of love that Jesus sacrificed his life. He gave up his life according to the cross, what he did on the cross. And then according to what Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room where he told them to wait, he said, I will be in you, I will be there with you. How? By way of the Holy Spirit, as he is today. And so, but again, this kind of love is understood through yearning and desiring and hungering and thirsting for a relationship of intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so I'm just trying to set a stage for you to understand how important, how deep, how wide, and how strong this love is that God has for us. And this is the type of love that we are to share, that we are to speak about. Who are we to speak about? Love. Who is love? Christ. And what he did on the cross. And
yes.
This type of love, it's hard to pin down. It's not the type of love that the world shows us today. It's not the type of love that you just hit this thing and quit this thing and you jump in this thing and you jump out of this thing. That is not love.
Right.
I heard it from a friend of mine, a sister in Christ. I like the way that she said that the type of love that we see today, it's called graveyard love. And what that means is the type of love that we see today between a man and a woman or people today, it's a type of love that will take somebody to the graveyard, meaning they are going to lose their life behind jealousy, behind envy, with weapons, guns so readily available, with knives, and people are losing their lives, and they call that love, and that is not love.
No.
And she put it in a vivid way by calling it graveyard love, because somebody will eventually lose their life behind the wickedness of this word that they call love, but the end result is someone has lost a life because of jealousy, envy. If she can't have them, if I can't have them, she can't have them. If I can't have her, he can't have her. So everybody ends up in the graveyard in a
right.
kind of strange sense. But just trying to set a picture of the kind of love that the world has misconstrued or stretched to conform it to what they think love should be, and not really understand the type of love or the kind of love that God really does give to those who love him and even those who don't want to love him. So if
right.
you could, for the benefit of the listeners, just reread your piece.
Sure. Love knows no boundaries, has no restrictions, is not male nor female, but its strength overpowers everything. Has no prejudice, no respect of a person. Some may think they can control you, but they are fooling themselves. Has to be respected by you and I, or it will put you in your place. Never hurts, but brings reality to light. The pain comes when we do not want to accept reality. Love never lies. It always gives the truth. Are we really ready to accept the truth, or just misunderstand what love says? Do we twist its words to what we perceive it to be? Do we close our minds because we really do not know love? We only sometimes have our selfish concept to hold on to and not just allow the love to teach and lead us.
Amen. So I would like for us to look through, if we could flip to the Old Testament and
okay.
let's look at Deuteronomy 6.
Okay.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. And reading verse 4.
Verse 4. It says, yes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one.
And 5.
Then, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
Go ahead.
These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. You want me to keep going?
Mm-hmm.
Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord,
Amen.
Your God brings... You want me to stop right there?
Yes, so we could stop there at verse 9. And
okay.
From verses 4 through 9, as you've read, and we see what the Lord God wants us to do with his command, with his commandments.
Yes.
And he wants us to memorize. Don't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Internalize. He wants us to share it. He wants
yes.
us to post it. And he wants us to teach and talk with our families, our children, our first, second, third, fourth, fifth generation, and so on and so on. This is what God said in the Old Testament.
Yes.
He said this to who? He said this to... And if we, let's see, verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land,
mm-hmm.
he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. Here again, this was to be embedded, and this was something that God wanted us to maintain, retain. And so it will not ever be forgotten. And that still stands for today.
Yes.
These commandments in verse 6 that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children.
Yes.
Now, how many people are doing that today? Showing and impressing upon our children love. Talk about them when you sit at home. Well, we're not talking to anybody when we're sitting at home. We're on our cell phones. We're on our tablets.
Right.
We're engaging in ourselves. We're not engaging with one another. And this is so common right now. Even going out to dinner. When we eat at the table with one another, somebody's on a cell phone. And when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, how many of us go to bed focusing on love? And we're talking about God, who is love, Jesus, who laid his life down, love walking on 2 feet. And who a morning devotion, saturating
right.
their heart or their day or their mind with love. It may be common for some, but most, it should be common nature for us to rise up, giving thanks to the Lord, and if you do that, praise ye the Lord. Now it's time for you to impress that habit, that good habit, on your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, so on and so forth. We are to do this with every generation. And just as Minister Lakeisha mentioned, who is our neighbor? The commandment says love thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, I mean, we could talk about love all day long because it's so meaty. It's got so much nourishment and food for the soul that we could talk about this four-letter word, but it's all caps, capital L-O-V-E, and that means God. So now that we've looked at Deuteronomy 4, 6, chapter 6, 4 through 9, let's look at Daniel,
okay,
chapter 9. Go to Daniel, and if you find it, Lakeisha, you could go ahead and, let's see, read it, and I think I'm right here with you.
Okay.
9, and it reads this way, and I'll read 9, and we're going to move around verse 4. Verse 4, and it reads this way. I'll read it in the New Living Translation first.
Okay.
I pray to the Lord, my God, and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and keep your commandments. That's what it says in the New Living Translation. Now, I'm going to reread it just for the benefit of a different translation, which will be the New International NIV, and it reads this way.
Okay.
I pray to the Lord, my God, and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. Now, we just read this, the command in Deuteronomy 6. That was the command. To love him is to obey him. And that's why I mentioned love and obey are inseparable. They go together.
Yes.
Shouldn't have one without the other. So here we are in Daniel, and this is with what he prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, telling him how great and awesome he is. And then what he expects of us, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. This is what pleases God, is when we are so in love with him and we obey his commands.
Yes.
And it pleases him to the fullest. Now, do we obey 100%? No. But even in the midst of our foolishness, he still loves us.
Yes.
He still loves us. His grace and his mercy are upon us, and he provides that daily. So I pray and hope that you see the importance of this four-letter word, capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E. And I express it that way to show the depth and the height and the width of God. He is love. So now that we've looked at John 14:14, we've looked at Deuteronomy 6:4-9 and Daniel 9:4, we understand how love and obedience, love and obey are inseparable. And if you love me, you will obey me, is what we've read. This is what God says. If we love him, we will obey him. And you see how important this is, this love thing, this agape type of love, not a love that's turned on to hot and then it turns off to cold. No, this love stays. This love endures. This love never changes. This love is faithful. This love blesses. It gives. It's not a love that is self-serving or self-absorbed, a me, myself, and I kind of love. So, Minister Lakeisha, you can continue sharing maybe your next piece, if you would.
Okay. The next piece is entitled "Let Everything That Has Breath Praise Ye the Lord." I wrote it in July 2004. It was a time when I was a caregiver, and I had a lot of freedom being a caregiver, because I could set our schedules up the way I wanted to set our schedules. And a lot of times we would spend our days in the park. We would have lunch, fix our lunch in the at the apartment, and take it to the park, to Herman Park, and we would eat in the park. And after we would eat, I would write, and my lady would draw, because she was an artist. So she would draw. So we would spend time in the park drawing and writing, and sometimes feeding the ducks. And one day in the month of July, I was just looking around Herman Park, and I wrote this: "Let everything that has breath praise you, the Lord. I see the trees praise you. They wave as the wind flies over their leaves. I hear the wind praise you as it howls during the setting of the sun. The birds whistle songs at dawn. The cows praise you with moves throughout the day. Even the swings praise you through the creaks and squeaks as the children swing on them. The joy of praise. The grass praises you through the different shades of green and yellow that flow and lay from one end of the field to the next. The trees have different praises. They grow closer to you with outstretched branches reaching toward you in the sky. They direct me to you by showing me who to look to in the time of trouble or need. The trees tell me how to stand and depend on God as they do for water from on high. I don't eat until the Lord tells the sun to shine on me. I can't breathe until the Lord touches you and allow you and I to exchange life, the joy of praise." And so I was just looking around the park and just looking at all the different types of trees and the limbs that's reaching up toward the sky and watching the wind blow across the leaves. And it was just a beautiful sight to experience God through nature. And that's where I got this piece from. And in Psalms 148, it reminded me of this poem. It's Psalms 148. And it reads, "Come praise the Lord. Shout praises to the Lord. Shout the Lord praises in the highest heavens. All of you angels and all who serve him above, come and offer praise. Sun and moon and all of you bright stars, come and offer praise. Highest heaven and the water above the highest heavens, come and offer praise. Let all things praise the name of the Lord, because they were created at his command. He made them to last forever, and nothing can change what he has done. All creatures on earth, you obey his commands, so come praise the Lord. Sea monsters in the deep sea, fire and hail, snow and frost, and every stormy wind, come praise the Lord. All mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, every wild and tame animal, all reptiles and birds, come praise the Lord. Every king and every ruler, all nations on earth, every man and every woman, young people and old, come praise the Lord. All creation, come praise the name of the Lord. Praise his name alone. The glory of God is greater than heaven and earth. Like a bull with mighty horns, the Lord protects his faithful nation, Israel, because they belong to him. Shout praises to the Lord. And in this song, we see that everything, it says from the highest heaven down to the earth, to the sun, to the moon, to the stars, to all the animals, everything praises God, praises the name of the Lord. And I think it's a beautiful thing if you just sit out and just take a view of nature sometimes. Just look at the wind blow across the trees and just listen to the animals. First thing in the morning, it's a beautiful thing to experience God through his creation. Do you have anything else to add, Sister Smith?
No, you're right. One of the other psalms we'll read after this 148 psalm, but it one thing I noticed, and this is just what the Lord kind of gave me as a visual, when you were reading your piece and then even reading the Psalm 148, you said in your piece that the grass praises the Lord. If you could read that particular line or sentence.
Sure. The grass praises you through the different shades of green and yellow that flow and lay from one end of the field to the next.
And that made me think about how I noticed in my backyard, and when I'm up early in the morning or just on a beautiful Saturday morning having coffee, and I would look at the grass and how the different shades of grass can be green, brown, or yellow to a certain degree, and when we have a nice breeze, the wind moves the grass. And I noticed how it moves in the wind. And when I'm at church and I see all the brothers and sisters there worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord through praise and worship time, our hands go up as a offer of praise to the Lord. And that, and when I see our hands going up, swaying back and forth to the heavens, to God, it made me think about the grass and all of the diversity in the grass and all of the diversity in church and even in the body of Christ, the diversity of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we throw our hands up as a act of praise and worship to the Lord, it made me think about how all of those blades of grass are moving in the wind, and how, although we may not hear a sound that grass makes, but the movement of the grass can be seen, at least I saw it to be, as a worship, praising the Lord. Yes, the wind moved it, but it just made me see how brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are praising and worshiping the Lord through song and our hands go up as a worship or praise to the Lord, and we're just moving from side to side, and that's what it set a beautiful picture of us worshiping the Lord. And how we do that, and how the birds sing in the morning, and how everything
yes.
that has breath praises the Lord, even the creatures that we don't see,
yes.
How God created them to praise the Lord. And I just thought that was very, very vivid and beautiful to see the Creator create what he wanted to praise him. From the beast of the field to the fowl of the air to the beast in the sea, as well as man and
yes.
woman created by God. It is just a wonderful, wonderful thing, a beautiful thing to see our God, God Creator, do what he did in love for us, and how we are to just worship and praise him. And that's what we are to do. That's why he created us, so that we would glorify him, that we would praise him, and that we would sing to him, just as we read in Psalms 148. And so I would like for us to read Psalms 150, and just flip over in your Bible to Psalms 150. Now, of course, the Psalms are a beautiful place to start your day every morning with your morning cup of coffee, if you will, reading the Psalms and a proverb on a daily basis. And then, of course,
yes.
walking yourself through Scripture. But I believe the Psalms just set the tone for your day, and it sets your heart. And the Proverbs just give you the instruction on how to move through your day. And then, of course, the Word of God in the books and the passages is just definitely food for the soul, for maturing in your walk as a believer in Christ Jesus. But Psalms 150, and I'm going to read that in the NIV translation.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. And verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I just thought this was fitting for the title of your piece, Let Everything That Has Breath Praise Ye the Lord. And here in Psalms 150, it ends stating, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And he says it again, praise the Lord. And, of course, in the King James translation, it says, praise ye the Lord. So, amen to that. You know, this is this is what we are to do. This is what we were created to do, and that is praise the Lord. David wrote many of the Psalms, and he was a man after God's own heart, and he definitely knew how to praise the Lord. So Psalms 100, if we would flip back, and I know you made mention of that earlier to me, Minister Lakeisha, concerning Psalms 100. And so if you would read that for the listeners.
Sure. Psalms 100, verse 1. Shout praises to the Lord, everyone on this earth. Be joyful and sing as you come in to worship the Lord. You know the Lord is God. He created us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep in his pasture. Be thankful and praise the Lord as you enter his temple. The Lord is good. His love and faithfulness will last forever. And this is from the Contemporary English Version.
Amen.
You have a different version?
It will last forever. It will last forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. All generations. And this is the same type of love that we talked about in your first piece. And here we see it again in your second piece, Let Everything That Has Breath Praise You the Lord. And even in this particular Psalm 100, it tells us to make a joyful noise to the Lord, according to the King James now. Make a joyful noise, joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now that is encouraging. That is our hope. That we can take to the bank.
Yes.
And I tell you, the Word of God is the glue that anchors our soul to our Father. And the Psalms are just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful writings for us to read daily and reread for the remainder of our life while we are on this earth, on this side of heaven. I tell you, it's just a must do. As you grow in grace, into spiritual maturity, to where you can someday, one day, be that instrument that God uses to impart his word into others, just as we've read in Deuteronomy and how we are to, I'll say, tattoo his word on our hearts. Nowadays, people have tattooed his word on their body as a walking billboard, if you will. But unfortunately, tattooing the word of God on the outer part of our body, it doesn't do us any good.
Right.
It's on the inside, our hearts, where it is to remain, where it is to grow, and where it is to teach and correct, and we are to share. It's on the inside is where it's to be tattooed. So, again, the Word of God for the people of God that brings unity, it brings restoration, it delivers love. And it definitely opens the eyes of a blind man or woman. And when I say blind, not literally blind, but it opens up the eyes of a wayward man or woman who's walking in darkness. As we sing a hymn, an old hymn, I was once blind, but now I see. This is what the word, this is what the word does for us. And I just encourage you to not shy away from allowing the pages of the Bible to just bring a cool breeze across your face. As we fan through the Bible, as we move pages from left to right, allow the words to pop out and just, you know, consume you. Bathe yourself in the Word of God. And then you'll totally understand how easy it is to understand letting everything that has breath praise the Lord. And you have breath. You will praise the Lord. Now, this comes easy for some or for most brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm talking to the ones who find it a little challenging to just allow yourself to be free in Christ and extend your hands, clap your hands, as long as you are praising the Lord. We find it easy to praise a football player in the football stands. We find it easy to praise a pitcher for your favorite baseball team. We find it easy to praise your children when they've done something good. That comes easy and natural for us. But somehow or another, it's challenging for us to praise the Lord when we go to church, if we even go to church. We find it challenging to praise the Lord in front of friends, that they could clearly see that you are a Christ follower. And we find it challenging to witness to someone who we may be standing in line or just notice from afar that he may need a word from the Lord, a word of encouragement. Acts of kindness go a long way. So, yes, the Word of God, all 66 books of the Bible, are beautiful love letters that God has given to us. So it brings us to your third piece, correct?
Yes.
So let's look at that one.
Okay. It says, "I need you." I wrote this in April 2007. It was at a time when I was just diagnosed with depression. Not too soon after that, it was right before I graduated college, and I was working 16 hours. I was in school full time, and my mom had just passed like 3 months prior to this time. I was really still active in church. Mother of two children that were in the magnet program. They were in choir and band, so we had a very, very active schedule. And so I wrote this, "I need you. My love, my sanity, don't leave me. I feel you slipping away. What's wrong? Did I not acknowledge you? Not enough time? Too much worry? I'm changing my focus. Set more goals. Then seek to attain. My love, my sanity, don't leave me. I will attend to you more if I can find you. I would rather you find me because I'm not a seeker. Availability is limited but can be changed. I need you here and now to hold me tight. I need you here to smile, and I know everything will be well. Tell me, seeker, did you like what you found, or did you stumble into something you regret or feel you will regret? Where are you? Why is it taking so long for you to find me? I want to dance with you so softly and lightly. kissing you into the sunset and rising again. I need you to breathe your desire into my nostrils that I may live. My love, my sanity, don't leave me. I want to be caught up in your world that I was made to be intertwined. Where are you? Why is it taking so long for you to find me? I want to dance with you so softly and lightly, kissing you into the sunset and rises again. I need you to breathe your desire into my nostrils that I may live. My love, my sanity, don't leave me. I need you. And this was, like I said, during the time I had a lot of things going on in my life. I just been diagnosed with depression, but I also had a desire for a physical companion. And in the midst of all the things that was going on in my life, it didn't make any sense to want a physical companion because I really wouldn't have had enough time for a physical companion, but I did desire to have a physical companion. But I wanted to share in the scripture, John 14, verses 6 through 7. It's St. John, the 14th chapter. And it's verses 6 through 7. And this is talking about a spiritual companion, a spiritual companion. We're talking about with the Lord. 14, 6 through 7 reads, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus answered, without me, no one can go to the Father. If you had known me, you would have known the Father. But from now on, you do not know him, and you have seen him. So it's just saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the only relationship that I really needed at that time to come and to save me from all my busyness, but also from the depression I was dealing with. If I needed that relationship with God to help me. And also I wanted to read verses 26 through 27. This is the same chapter, chapter 14. And it reads, I give you peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It isn't like the peace that the world can give. So don't be worried or afraid. You have already heard me say that I am going and that I will also come back to you. If you really love me, you should be glad that I am going back to the Father because he is greater than I am. Amen. Sister Smith, did you want to read it from a different version?
Yes. I'll read it from the NIV, and I'll reread 6 and 7.
Okay.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. For now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 26 and read 26 and 27. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father yes. will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Amen.
Amen. So did you have anything else to shed on those particular verses, Minister?
Very, very beautiful, very, very good,
promising verses for us to actually, for you to remember, for you to memorize. And they will, those kinds of verses in scripture will get you through some tough times.
Yes.
Talks about thing, it tells us to not let our hearts be troubled. You know, do
yes.
not let your hearts be troubled. And then, and it also lets us know that we don't have any reason to be afraid, you know, because we know that our Heavenly Father watches over us. He gives us the, he always provides us a way out, regardless of our situation, regardless of what you're going through or who you're dealing with or what you might be experiencing in your life or what you're even playing tug of war with in your mind. When you cry out to God and you let him know, granted, he already knows what you're toiling with. He already knows what you're dealing with. But
right.
something about you crying out to God, when we do that, a peace will come over you and tears may or may not run down your face. But when you surrender it all to him, he will carry you through. We don't ever close out a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins. And this is a time when I think we really need to do that. So what I want to do is I want my brothers and sisters in Christ who may be listening to the broadcast to touch and agree with me as we bow our heads in prayer. But also, I would like for you to lift up that person that you may have been praying for some time, or maybe just recently started praying for. Lift them up in prayer that they would come to know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sin. It may be that backslidden child. It may be that wayward or prodigal husband or prodigal wife. It may be someone who may have latched on to a different type of a faith, and you know that it is not the way home, meaning heaven. And so lift them up, call them out by name, and whether they repeat after you, we just allow God to do what he does, have his way. But we, as faithful prayer warriors, we are to continue to lift them up in prayer and love them through it. So, and for those of you who may not know Jesus Christ, here is an opportunity. This day, right now, at this very moment, this very hour of the day, that you would cry out to him. That is what these pieces that Minister Lakeisha has written are, heart's cry that she has penned to paper. And then we encourage you, don't hold back, don't hesitate, don't procrastinate. This is the day that the Lord has made for you to give your heart to him. So if you would, brothers and sisters, touch and agree with me and Minister Lakeisha as we lift up somebody that would repeat after us this simple prayer of salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come together as a body of Christ, as your children, praying for those who may not know you in the pardoning of their sin, Lord God. We just ask that you would continue to show yourself to them, speaking to their heart tenderly, intimately, Lord, as you call them closer and closer to you. For the one who may be listening across the world wide web, Lord, you know who they are. You know who he is. You know who she is. And Lord, we just pray right now that they humbly, wholeheartedly surrender their life to you, that you would sit up on the throne of their heart, guide them and lead them, purify them, teach them, shape them and mold them, Lord, that they would be a sweet aroma to your nostrils. Now, for the brother or sister or the man or woman, I ask that you would pray these words confess that you are a sinner. Lord, I am a sinner. I need you this day. Please enter into my heart. I need you now. I believe by faith that you are the Father, that Jesus died on the cross for me. He gave his life for me, that my sin is covered by his blood. Lord God, I love you, and I need you. I trust you, and I desire to be a child of God. Lord, come into my heart that the Holy Spirit would shape and mold me, that I would be a born-again believer. Oh, how I need you, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And thanks be to God that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I pray, brother or sister, that you seek out a Bible teaching church in your community, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, that when you arise, you would sing hallelujah, and you would tell the whole world that I am a Christ follower, and that you would find a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class that you could be discipled, that you would grow and go in grace, and that you would someday, one day, share your testimony and how you became born again and how you want to share with somebody that they would come to know Jesus Christ also in the pardoning of their sin, that you would lead them into the ark of salvation, and we know that to be Jesus Christ. So praise ye the Lord. And Minister Lakeisha, I tell you, time has left us, and I thank God for you sharing your beautiful, beautiful poems and your written word to God as we know it to be the art of spoken word. And this last one, I need you, and that is definitely a cry out for us all on how we need him deeply and wholeheartedly and eagerly needing him, and that's capital H-I-M. And I tell you, I hate to let this go because I know I could continue in going through more of your pieces and even just saturating and bathing it with the Word of God, but I know this is not the end of the art of spoken word. So for the first series, I tell you, it's been a wonderful journey, but I know you will be back and sharing more of your writings with the listeners through Mission from the Heart Radio, and that we will hear even more from you and your beautiful writing. So if you would close this particular broadcast out in prayer, Lakeisha, I would appreciate that so much, if you would.
Okay. Thank you, Father, for yet another time that you've allowed us to spend together with our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for the spoken word that we have shared for healing, for deliverance, for blessings on others. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that someone today accepted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Sister Smith being willing to open up her podcast to the spoken word, God, that someone else may be changed through spoken word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that for all the people that are listening today, and we thank you that they are healed and they are delivered and they are set free from anything that has been holding them back. God, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor. And we thank you for this and many other blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And this has been a journey, a beautiful journey. And, of course, without God, it would not have even been possible. But one song I wanted to leave in your heart, and it's a song that you may be familiar with. And, of course, I won't sing it, but I will definitely read the words of the stanza. And it's called, the title of this song is called Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And it's a heart song, and this is a song that you might want to find in a hymnal or search for it on the internet. But it reads this way, and if you would listen to the words of this song, again, it's Just a Closer Walk with Thee. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is o'er air, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. And just a closer walk with thee, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And when you hear the music laid to those verses in the song, I tell you, it will continue to walk with you throughout the day, because it did that with me when I heard it today. So always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, they fade away as we see season to season. But always know that the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you. Thank you for being a faithful listener to the broadcast. Thank you for being a faithful listener to the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Minister Lakeisha and I pray that you continue to grow and walk deeply through the word of God, that you too will be used by God to draw somebody into the ark of salvation. And we know that to be Jesus Christ. God bless you.